And thank you for listening to the Created to Soar podcast brought to you by Wedgwood Estates of Mansfield, celebrating 25 years as the area's premier senior residential community. Visit us online at wedgwoodseniorliving.com. And welcome in, everyone. Dakota Stone is joining us today. She is a licensed social worker, program coordinator for the Alzheimer's Association, the Northwest Ohio chapter. And I'm very happy to have her in here to talk about Alzheimer's disease. And I think we're going to have probably three different conversations about Alzheimer's. Dakota, welcome in.
Thank you for having me.
I'm really excited about being able to talk with you about Alzheimer's and the pitfalls of Alzheimer's. And, you know, I've been thinking a lot lately. We've had a lot of people here in Wedgwood that have dealt with Alzheimer's disease, family members who've dealt with Alzheimer's disease. And it's so, you know, people will come in all the time, family members, and they'll be so grieved and so sad, and they work so hard to take care of their loved ones. And it just seems like they'll go through days where it's just so hard, you know, and they'll come into Wedgwood and they'll say, you know, we need to make a decision to move mom or move dad. And then they'll have a few really good days. And then they'll wonder, why did we even go into Wedgwood at all? Because everything's going well. And then before you know it, something happens like mom or dad leaves their home. As sad as that is, the reality of it, or when they can't, you know, maybe they wander off, or possibly they might burn something on the stove, and it just becomes so difficult.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And yeah. I guess, go ahead.
That's okay. Yeah, it's definitely a roller coaster ride dealing with this disease.
Yeah, and I think what we're going to talk about today is just the very beginning things. You know, what are the 10 warning signs of Alzheimer's? So I'll kick it off there with the very first question. What are some examples of how memory disrupts life?
Sure. So it's really, in the beginning stages, it's really about forgetting maybe names or appointments. Maybe it's that increasing reliance on having to write things down on a calendar or making a list of things that you need to do today, or being more dependent on family members to handle some appointments or some of the things that you used to be able to remember, and now you're having more difficulty doing so. So one thing that I always tell people, you know, if you've always had to write things down on a calendar or write a to-do list and you're still having to do that, that's not a change for you. But if it's a change for you in the way that you have to, you know, you never had to do that before and now you're having to do that more and more, that could be a sign. Or if you were never good with birthdays and anniversaries and you're still not good with those things, that's not a change for you. But if you've always been somebody who has remembered birthdays, remembered anniversaries, remembered appointments, and now you're seeing a change in that, or a loved one is seeing that in a change in you, that may be one of the signs that, again, that's a disrupt in your daily life.
Okay. Because I think sometimes when we talk about this, and I think it can be a scary thing, because it's like, oh, well, I have to make lists, or I left my keys, you know, and I'm looking for my keys all the time. I mean, this is nothing new for me. It's like something that I'm always, you know, like, well, and so now what I do, and, you know, it's always been a problem, is like, I'll just put my keys in the same spot, you know, and then I always know where they're at. But yeah, I see what you're saying, because it can be kind of scary to some of us when we hear, oh, well, if you write lists, but you're just saying if it's something that's unusual, and like kind of like your husband, like, I don't know, a lot of men, they can forget dates all the time. Mm-hmm. So it would be nothing new for them if they missed a date or two.
Correct. Yeah. If it's something that they've never really been good with, then, you know, that's not a concern, I guess I would say. And, you know, the other thing is too, being able to process, okay, I'm just going to put, you know, my keys, for instance, in the same spot every time. Somebody who may have a concern of memory loss may be able to do that once or twice, but then may not be able to process, oh yeah, I'm going to put my keys here, the same spot all the time. The other thing is, you know, sometimes we may have a, you know, we all forget things here and there, right? We all forget, you know, maybe we have always been good at appointments, and now, you know, maybe we forgot one. And, you know, that's not always a need for concern either if we forget here and there. Many times what will happen is we'll remember it later. Somebody with early onset Alzheimer's, they may not remember it at a later date. You know, we may say, oh my goodness, I forgot that, you know, my doctor's appointment was today at 1 o'clock. You know, again, somebody with early Alzheimer's, they may not remember that later on.
Okay. All right. So there's what the difference is. Mm-hmm. And so what are some of the challenges that one might face in solving problems? Because I think the second one warning sign is all of Alzheimer's is challenges in planning or solving problems. So what are some of the challenges one might face in solving problems?
Mm-hmm. So you may see your loved one have a difficulty following a familiar recipe. That planning that comes into it, you know, getting everything together, the prep work for a recipe. Maybe they've always been a good cook. They've always, maybe they don't even need a recipe anymore because they've just, you know, made this particular recipe so many times. And now you're seeing that, you know, they're having a little bit more difficulty putting things into that recipe that shouldn't be in there or leaving things out. Or maybe even difficulty tracking monthly bills. That's another big one that many times if you as the caregiver, maybe you don't go over to your loved one's home every day, maybe once a week or, you know, once every couple weeks. And when you go over now, you're seeing bills piling up or mail piling up. That may be something to keep an eye on. You know, again, that planning, making sure that the bills are paid on time. Something that may be a typical age-related change is, you know, again, we all make mistakes here and there. We all maybe forget a bill, forget to, you know, put the bill in the mail every once in a while. But now, again, it's that bills that are piling up because they maybe think that it's already been paid or they just don't have the cognitive ability to realize that bills need to be paid anymore.
Okay. And it says, number three, it says difficulty completing familiar tasks. Does that kind of go along with number two? What are some of the tasks we are taking for granted that a person with Alzheimer's may have difficulty with?
Sure. So it's a familiar task may be, you know, maybe it's somebody who has always taken care of the home. And now you tell the person to, you know, go do the laundry. Well, they may be able to do steps number one and two, gather the laundry and take it downstairs, but maybe they just put it in the dryer and they don't put it in the washer. Or maybe they put it in the washer, but they don't put the soap in and know how to, you know, start the laundry. That's one example. Or it may be somebody who's always kind of tinkered in the garage and now, you know, they're misplacing their things or they're not able to complete that task. And they're not able to process. If you've told them to go and do something, they may not be able to process what all that task entails. They may be able to do a couple steps, but not all of the steps. Organizing a grocery list and then having to go to the grocery store and buy those things. They may buy a couple things. They may totally forget to even look at the list once they're there. So a typical age-related change would be occasionally forgetting how to use the microwave settings. So especially if you have a new microwave and technology is changing so often, you may have to have somebody come over and, you know, teach you every now and again with the different settings or a remote control, same kind of thing. You may have to have somebody come over and teach you again.
Yeah, and there are so many remote controls, and it seems like you can have like three different remote controls for your TV.
Mm-hmm.
And so it can be a bit of a daunting task to try to figure out the differences. And I think especially as we get older, then getting older with the idea of new technology. And
exactly.
I think those Yeah, those can be very difficult. Yeah. And let's see. Confusion. Explain this one to me. Just explain what this means. The fourth warning sign of Alzheimer's is confusion with time or space. Could you just confusion with time or place. Could you just explain what that even means?
Yeah. So it may be you losing track of dates. You don't know what today's date is, or, you know, the seasons. You're not exactly sure what the season is outside. You're not sure exactly how much time has passed when you're, busy doing something. Maybe you get a little confused on where you are. And a typical age-related change would be getting confused about the day of the week, because I'm sure we've all been there as well, where, you know, we have to sit and think, like, what is today? It feels like a Thursday, but it's only Monday. So I think we've all been there. But eventually we, you know, it maybe only takes a couple seconds and we're like, okay, you know, it's Monday. But somebody who has early Alzheimer's, it may take them much longer to figure out what day it is, or they may have to look at a calendar. So it's more than just that, oh, I need to think of what day it is because, you know, I have so many things going on. It's more than that.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. And then we get to number five, and it says trouble understanding visual images and spatial relationships. Mm-hmm. What does that mean?
Yeah. So it may be, it could be difficulty with balance. It could be trouble reading the words on a page. It could be having trouble judging the distance of a stair or the curbside. It could also cause issues with driving. And then the spatial relationships, you know, there may be some confusion on, you know, this person is my niece, but she kind of looks like my daughter, so I'm going to call her by my daughter's name. And again, that's different than, you know, you have so many names in your family that, you know, my mom always called me my brother's name or my brother my name. That's a little bit different because she would usually correct herself. This would be thinking somebody is somebody else. And they may come to and think, oh, that was silly of me. I don't know why I called you that name. Or they may not. And they may truly believe that, again, you know, their daughter is their niece or vice versa. So that would be something to look out for as well.
I have a question going back to you mentioned driving. Mm-hmm. When do you have... I don't know. I think there's no definitive answer to some of these questions because I think as caregivers, we all ask the same questions, like when is it appropriate time to move mom because we can't take care of her anymore and because it's too dangerous for her. But when is the appropriate time, like as far as driving? Because, you know, you want to make sure that that they have as much independence as possible. But when is it an appropriate time to take away the keys?
Sure. I would say once you start noticing where, and we'll get into this a little bit, a little further down, but when you start seeing that their judgment is off, and it may not even be judgment about driving itself, but judgment about other things in their life, judgment about, you know, you mentioned before cooking on the stove, cooking or burning something on the stove or cooking something too long in a microwave. It could be judgment even with those things, that you might want to think, okay, maybe if they're having a little difficulty with judgment with these things, they may start having difficulty driving. Some people decide to stop driving on their own, and that makes it a little bit easier for the caregivers. Of course, that's something else that the caregiver would have to figure out is how am I going to get this person from here to there and to all their appointments? So it's difficult in that aspect, but it's a little bit easier that you don't have to, in a sense, fight with them over taking their keys or having to feel guilty about taking their keys. So definitely, you know, I think the biggest thing is if there's any scratches on the cars or dents in the car. Of course, if the person starts getting lost, you know, those are the more
The bigger warning signs, probably.
Yeah, the bigger warning signs that you're like, okay, you know, it's time to take away the keys. But I would say is if there's a lapse in judgment with some of the other things in their lives, that maybe it might be a time to take the keys away. And to have that conversation with them as well.
Yeah, and that's the biggest thing, having that conversation. It is such a difficult conversation, and it puts mm-hmm. so much guilt on the caregiver. Mm-hmm. And let's go to number six, a new problem with words in speaking or writing. Name some examples of new problems with words or speaking or writing.
Sure. So you may have a conversation with this individual, and maybe they're repeating themselves a lot, or they're struggling with vocabulary. They're having trouble naming a familiar object, or they use a wrong word. You know, maybe they call a pen a cup, or something like that, or they're just having, you're just noticing them having some trouble speaking. Maybe they're not making total sense in what they're saying. Or, you know, writing is also mentioned there. Maybe what they're writing down, if they write letters or if they write out checks, you know, it's not, those things aren't making sense any longer. And again, this is another thing. I think we've all been there. Is, you know, we've all had trouble finding the right word. You know, we all sometimes we'll be in a conversation and you'll be like, I have no idea where I was going with that conversation. Sometimes you might
remember
later, or maybe sometimes you're not. But this is something that happens more on a frequent basis, that it's noticeable. It's more of a habit now you're noticing in your loved one, rather than just that random conversation that, you know, they've forgotten where they're going with the conversation, or they have trouble speaking or finding the right word. It's happening more frequently.
Which brings up this question to me, and this is veering off just a little bit, so I apologize for this, but I kind of wanted to have an understanding from you, if you have any kind of age there, that is there a certain age where Alzheimer's becomes a part of someone's life, or could it happen? How early does that happen for people?
So the typical age is around 60 to 80, and I know that's a huge you know, difference. But there is something that's called younger onset, which is something, which is what we would call somebody who has been diagnosed before the age of 65. It does happen more rare, somebody being that young, but it does happen. But typically we look at the ages between 60 and 80.
Wow. Now, I've always heard that people with early onset, does it progress more with those, or is that just a myth?
With younger onset, you mean?
Yes.
Is that what you, yeah. So that is, they don't really understand why that is, but if somebody is diagnosed before the age of 65, we do tend to see a faster progression.
Okay, and now I think we may have touched on this already, but number seven is misplacing things and losing the ability to retrace steps. Mm-hmm. And I think we already talked about this a little bit. When is number seven normal aging, and when would it be considered Alzheimer's?
Yeah, so again, we've all misplaced things. We all have lost things from, you know, here and there. But it's when typically we're able to say, okay, I'm going to check in the filing cabinet, because that's usually where I place, you know, my important paperwork. I came in through the door today because I was grocery shopping, and I put all my groceries in the kitchen, so I'm going to look here for my phone. When somebody has early Alzheimer's, they may not be able to retrace their steps to say, okay, I know I was in this room, or I know, and then I went into this room, so I'm going to look in those places for my phone or whatever it is that I've lost. They're not able to retrace their steps. So that is the difference between normal aging and somebody with early dementia or Alzheimer's, is that we're able to retrace our steps. The individual with the disease may not be able to.
Interesting. Okay, so number eight, decreased or poor judgment. I think we've talked about that as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so we mentioned that. So decrease in poor judgment, that could be, you know, dealing with money or bills, paying less attention to grooming or keeping themselves clean. So that judgment of, okay, these are things that I know need to be done or that they should be done in a safe way. Their decision-making skills are a little bit more poor now. Whereas before, you know, you knew to take a shower every day, and now that's not, you're not thinking that those things are important anymore. Or maybe you think that you've already done those things. So that would be that decreased poor judgment. And then like we talked about with the driving as well.
Yeah. And then number nine says withdraw from work or social activities. And this, I know you and I talked separately about this, but in knowing number nine, the question is, how do we as caregivers determine when our mom or dad or a person we're caring for with Alzheimer's, when should they socialize and when is it overstimulation? Because, you know, for us here in Wedgewood Estates, socialization is so important. I mean, we think it's like the most important thing in order to thrive. And so when do we determine when it's good to socialize and when it's overstimulating to the resident?
Mm-hmm. So paying attention to their behaviors, because one of the things that we know about this disease is that staying social is very important. But we also know that with this disease, an individual, as time goes on and the disease progresses, the individual will start to withdraw from social activities or, you know, social engagements that they have always been involved in. And some of that could have to do with embarrassment of, I don't want people to know that I'm changing. Others, it may be, I don't have any interest or I don't know what to talk about with these individuals anymore. So that could be a little of it, but, and withdrawal of hobbies too. It may not even need to be, you know, being around people. It could be hobbies as well. So paying attention to their behaviors. If you're in, you know, holiday, Easter's coming up. So if you're with family, and you notice that the individual is kind of pacing or off by themselves, or they just look kind of confused, you know, those are some behaviors that you may think to yourself, okay, maybe this person is overstimulated. There's three different conversations going on. It's kind of noisy. You know, maybe this person needs a break, or maybe you need to start thinking of having smaller engagements.
Okay. Yeah, I think that's all, this is all so, so important and so valuable. What kind of changes in the mood or personality can a caregiver expect? Number 10 is changes in mood and personality. So what kind of changes in the mood or personality can a caregiver expect?
So you may see that they've become more confused when talking, whether it be just a one-on-one conversation or in a group setting. They may become more suspicious of their family members and friends, or just, you know, things that they've heard on the TV. There may be some confusion between, okay, this is happening somewhere else and this is happening within my own personal life. You may see more depression, more fearful over things that are going on, and more anxiety as well. You may see that they become more easily upset when something is said, where, you know, something like that would not have upset them prior to this disease. So those are some of the things that to look out for. And again, not everybody experiences this. Some people don't experience depression or anxiety, and they just kind of let the caregiver, you know, take care of what they need to take care of. But others, you may see some of those behaviors.
Yeah, it's been, you know, here at Wedgewood, I've seen for 20 years I've been here, and I've seen so many different, obviously we have all kinds of different folks that live here at Wedgewood, but all kinds of Alzheimer's patients as well, and all at different stages, I guess. And I'm not a doctor or a nurse, but I've just seen so many different stages, and my heart just, I get so, when it comes to Alzheimer's, I get so sad because I can see what they're going through, you know, day after day after day. And just to help guide these folks along and to get a little piece of the puzzle and to learn and talk with you and other professionals about this is just so helpful for even me. And I just appreciate the opportunity. And I think we're going to have two more conversations coming up. Is that so?
Yeah. We have a couple different topics that we'll have.
Yeah, and I think that's really wonderful. And I so appreciate that you would be willing to even talk to me about this. We have been talking to Dakota Stone. She is a licensed social worker, program coordinator for the Alzheimer's Association Northwest Ohio chapter. And Dakota, how can a person, if they have questions for you, how can they reach out to the Alzheimer's Association or to you?
They can call our local office at 419-537-1999. Or we also have a 24-hour helpline, and that phone number is 800-272-3900. And that you can call that phone number 24/7, holidays, weekends, 2 a.m. if you're feeling overwhelmed or if you have questions that, you know, you have on your mind or you just need somebody to vent to and somebody to listen, that helpline is a great resource.
And that is. And thank you so much for talking with me on the Created to Soar podcast. And thank you for listening to the Created to Soar podcast brought to you by Wedgewood Estates, celebrating 25 years, the area's premier senior residential community. Visit us online at wedgewoodseniorliving.com.